Dear friends, today we will talk about UFOs and extraterrestrial beings. We're going to ask Brother Joseph, who has been studying this subject, analyzing also the Bible prophecies, and he's been doing researches to find out what actually is happening in the world and what are people's testimonies concerning the UFOs. But what is very interesting is that he's looking into the Bible to find scriptures and Bible references to give us a clear explanations. Are UFOs real? Are they imaginary? And if they really exist, what is their purpose? What do they want from us, from human beings? And where do they live, in a different planet? And what will happen in the future? And what is our defense against them? So we have many questions about it, and we want to know the truth, not any more theories and speculations or maybes. We want to know, what does the Bible say? So let's ask Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph, first of all, are UFOs real or false? And does the Bible mention them?
Personally, I always thought the UFOs, all my life, I thought they were just for crazy people, lunatic people who just... But the Bible doesn't have the word UFO, extraterrestrials, but it talks about good and evil. The Bible doesn't talk about America, China, capitalism, communism, etc. But they're real. So it goes into the category good and evil.
Does that mean they are real?
Personally, I think they are, yes. Even though I never believed it.
So you think there is life on other planets?
No, I don't think there is life on other planets. But I think basically the UFOs are demons, okay? That's what I think. They're just a camouflage. They're just pretending these guys to be extraterrestrials, UFO, aliens, etc. But it's just a cover-up. Because they don't want to present themselves as demons. So they present themselves as extraterrestrials. You understand?
You mean... somehow I always thought demons are only in the spirit. They don't have a physical body. Are you saying that this UFO, this extraterrestrial, they have a physical body?
They are demons. They don't have a physical body like we have here on Earth. But they have they are spiritual beings. So they can appear and disappear. They can... pretend to be in a flying saucers or not. You know, they can just appear like a projection, like a three-dimensional projections, even science in this world can project images in the sky, you know. So much more the devils can do that. So they're not going to come here with fork and horns. They don't want to do that. You know, they want the world to be atheist, etc. They don't want, the demons don't want people to believe in gods and the devil, God's angels and demons, of course not. They try to convince the world there is no God, there is no devil. So they're going to come as extraterrestrials, you know. And there are scriptures in the Bible which seems to indicate this. For example, in 2 Corinthians, let me open the Bible, 2 Corinthians 11, we read verse 14, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So the devil pretends to be an angel of light, an angel of God, an angel of good. Okay, so that's how he deceives the world. So the devil pretends to be a Christian, to be a church preacher, you know, and just like the Pharisees. I mean, they were supposedly God's people, but a lot of them were just demon-possessed. So the devil loves to present himself like a good guy. So every deceit in this world, every Hitler, every Stalin, every dictator pretends to be good. Mao Zedong, some American presidents, America waging wars, all in the name of good. So the power of the devil in this world is deceiving. Okay, I believe that one day the devil is going to arrive here with his angels, pretending to be extraterrestrials.
And why? Why would they do that? Because they can come and deceive people as spirit beings, like they have been doing all these years. Why now these new things, they have to come like aliens?
Well, they have to, because we read in the book of Revelation that they're going to be cast out from heaven.
You mean the devil is not cast down from heaven already?
No. See, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from heaven. But that was a projection of the future. It's like the devil is not in hell yet. He will, but so far he's still in the heavenly places. Like it says in Ephesians chapter 6, says that the evil spirits are in the heavenly places. Some little section of heaven that God has reserved, like a ghetto, so to speak, a spiritual ghetto, where the Lord delimits, and that's where these bad spirits are. They're not in hell yet.
But there is, I don't know, I read in the past, somewhere in the Old Testament, I think in Ezekiel 14 or... No, in Isaiah 14, I think I read that it says, "Oh, how you fell from heaven, the fallen angel," and it talks about Lucifer.
Yes, but that's because there are different heavens. See, there is God's heaven and there is the devil's heaven. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me read to you Ephesians 6, because I want to clarify this point. Ephesians chapter 6, and it talks about where the devil is right now. Okay, here it is. Ephesians 6, I think it's verse 12. Ephesians 6, here it is. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Mm-hmm. It doesn't say in hell.
No, high places.
In high places. See, the devil and his demons are going to be cast down from heaven in, like it says in Revelation chapter 12, at the beginning of the tribulations. It's going to be cast down from heaven. And then there's going to be the tribulation, 3.5 years. And then at the end of the tribulation, there is the Armageddon, Revelation 19, verse 11. There's Armageddon, and that's when the Antichrist is cast in the lake of fire, and the devil is cast in the lake of fire, Revelation 20. You can see Revelation 20, verse 11 up.
So to understand a quick resume, you're saying that the devil was cast out from the God's heaven, the paradise where the saved souls will go from the beautiful heaven of God.
Yes.
He was cast out from there with his fallen angels, but there is a certain place, another heaven, where mm-hmm. he's still there right now, called high places.
Yes, it's like we see that in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about him being taken to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul talks about third heaven. So there are three heavens. So of course the first, also people had experience of life after death. They say that we check into heaven, to God's presence, going through the disguise, going through the devil's heaven. And so they went through the first heaven, which is the sky we see, and then they went through the second heaven, which is the devil's heaven, which engulfs, surrounds the whole planet. Second heaven. And then they reach the third heaven where God is, which is all the rest, all the firmament and everything else. But God has reserved a little bit, of heaven, a little bit, just to cover the planet. Why? Because of man's sins. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want, I can read to you in Revelation 12 what it says about the devil being cast down from heaven.
Yes.
Is that okay? So, in, of course, Revelation 12, it talks about the woman, which is the bride of Christ, in verse 6 and 14, which is she is protected for 3.5 years, which is the period of the tribulation, as we can verify that, Revelation 13, verse 5. And she's protected. Okay, but we see something interesting in verse 7. There was war in heaven, it says, and Michael, the archangel Michael, and his angels fought against the dragon, that's the devil, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was the place found any more in heaven. So here where the devil is cast out from heaven, this is in the future. All right? And verse 9, the dragon, which is the devil, verse 9, is cast down onto the earth, and his angels, or demons, were cast out with him. And then we keep reading. Verse 12, very interesting. Revelation 12:12, very, very interesting. Pay attention. "Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has just a little time." See, this here begins the great tribulations,
mm-hmm.
all right? Like it says, verse 6 and 14, 3.5 years, all right? And so many people think that the great tribulation is God's wrath, and because it's God's wrath, God has not appointed us unto wrath, and therefore we're not going to go through the tribulation. This is wrong, because Christian will have to go through the tribulation because it's a purging, and as a purging, but also because the tribulation is not God's wrath, it's the devil's wrath, like it says here,
yeah,
verse 12, the devil is come down unto you in great wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then verse 14, for 2.5 years. And the God's wrath begins after the tribulation, as we see in Revelation 15, 1 and 2. So the devil is cast down onto the earth, okay? And then what does he do? Verse 14, he persecutes the woman. The woman is the same woman which we see in Revelation 19, 7, which is the bride of Christ, which is protected for this whole period. We see in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. In other words, God is going to provide a speed, like we can take a train, can take a plane, but the speed means the woman is going to be is going to prepare to flee on time. That's why we must not be sleepy Christians, or get sleeping on our religion, but we need to be awake and prepare ourselves to move at the drop of a hat, to go to the place which God will reveal to each one individually. If it's another continent, another nation, another city, another whatever, God will tell each of us. So, and that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. The wilderness represents a place that is not Christianity, is not church building, a wilderness. There is nothing of Jesus, nothing of God, that hiding, like the Christian in the catacombs, like a spiritual wilderness. Okay? Where she is nourished for a time and times and after time from the face of the serpent. This is all the Bible language, 3.5 years. Anyway, 3.5 years, because we see Revelation 13.5 is 42 months. He's talking about 3.5 years. So she is nourished because in the tribulation there will be a mark of the beast. She cannot buy food, and God is going to provide food. So because she's hiding in a place prepared of God, the devil cannot reach them. Okay, and so the devil upset, verse 15, he cast water as a flood, which is from his mouth, which is the lies, of course, through the media. And then 17, he said, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of his seed. So persecution against the other Christians.
One question, Joseph. If it's true that at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the devil will be cast out, like it says here in Revelation 12, and it says the devil will be cast out to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. I mean, I thought there are a lot of fallen angels that follow the devil. It's going to be like an invasion on the earth. What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it will be an invasion. In fact, it's going to happen that these demons are going to possess everybody who has a mark of the beast. That's why they cannot be saved anymore.
But you are saying they will come like extraterrestrial?
They come as spirits. Not that they all are going to appear, because they are invisible.
Ah.
See, in order for them to show themselves, show up as UFO, extraterrestrial, they have to pretend it to be so. It's not that they are really extraterrestrials. See, the devil is a serpent, a dragon. I don't know exactly what he looks like. Probably like a dragon or serpent. So for them to appear like extraterrestrial, big brain, big eyes, a small body, you know, like they show in the Hollywood movies, I mean, that's it. They just pretend. I don't know. I don't think the demons look like that.
And why do you think they pretend to be like that? Like, what's their goal?
Because it gives them like a feeling, a spirit, an appearance of a scientific superior race. Understand?
So humans will accept them. Yeah,
because they imagine...
Just like demons, nobody wants to put up with them.
Yeah, because they, you know, being a superior being... creatures, they're supposed to have a bigger brain, so the demons pretend to have a bigger head. But the demons can appear any way they want, understand? In reality, they're just spirits, they're just demons. Like anybody who had experiences, like Bill Weiss, for example, went to hell, 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiss. I recommend everybody to watch it. On YouTube, you can see Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. Very interesting. A true testimony. So, he saw the demons, how they really are. They're monsters, like reptiles, serpents, the worst monster imaginable. But they don't look like aliens at all. They're just a pretense. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 12, an angel of light. Understand?
Joseph, there are people who are being kidnapped by aliens. At least that's what they say, that is happening to them. I want to ask you, why do aliens kidnap them? For what reason?
Well, they kidnap them because... they have plans. They kidnap them because they have some demonic, because that's what these aliens are, just demons pretending to be aliens. Okay? They kidnap them because, like one thing they found out, there are testimonies and there are videos, there are texts, there are kinds of documentation, which I will give the address on this this message that people can just go read, click. It's not just somebody woke up one morning and is preaching some theories. It's a testimony. People completely freaked out, scared, crying, shocked. People under shock because this happened to them. Real testimonies. I mean, people, they had no money to earn. People don't want publicity. People don't want to talk about it. I tell you. I mean, I feel that these testimonies are true. So what happens is that some of them have testified, and you can watch the videos. You can find them everywhere in YouTube. Just say abduct by aliens, abductions by aliens. If you click that, well, you can find many. So it seems that some of these guys, after they were kidnapped, some of them went to the doctors, they went to surgeons, they went to hospitals and they had X-ray, and turned out they had some metal things, some implanted in their bodies. And so they did the radiographies and they did operations, and they found all kinds of stuff inside.
What do you mean all kinds of stuff? What kind of stuff?
Well, all kinds of different forms and shape. For example, testimony of a guy that he had an experience of being kidnapped by aliens, and then he had a radiography, X-ray, they found out he had something, he had an operation, he had it removed, the doctor looked at it, and so he sent it to some, I think it was one of the most important world's medical center for analysis, I think it was Alamos, in south of the United States, and they sent back the results, and they said that the object, the item you sent to us for examination is not of earthly origin, it's extraterrestrial. It must be other meteorites or something that doesn't exist in the world. Something very rarely to find. So anyway, he said there's no earthly origin. Very rare to find, and you only find the meteorites and stuff like that. And the guy was shocked. So he continued with the experiments, and as well as other people who had the same experience, and it turned out that these objects were like radios, transceivers. These things had properties which you could receive messages and transmit messages. They're actually radios. So they were the size of a little bit more than a few millimeters in square diameter, so half a centimeter, that kind of, very small. And it turned out that these things, they are purposes, you know, it's like to receive messages. So it's clear that if a guy has an experience, being kidnapped by aliens, and then they implanted an object to receive radio messages and to transmit his location and information of his brain, etc., it's clear that these guys are trying to make puppets, robots, mm-hmm. cyborgs. And this goes with the new invention on the world, like the microchip, from very cheap. And this, the very cheap, basically, it's the human version of these things. Mm-hmm. Okay, but clearly, these so-called aliens, in quotes, they're really demons, who were the ones who were kind of teaching humanity, that is, the humanity that belongs to the devil, of course, okay, teaching humanity, teaching humans how to go about this, what to do, what's the next step in controlling humans, all right? And very cheap, it would be like the human version, all right, following the example of these extraterrestrial objects, which are the trans-receivers. So the very cheap is the human version, the earthly version, something that people will accept because the world would not accept an extraterrestrial stuff. So it doesn't make sense. Who's going to be? How can you implant the whole world with extraterrestrial material? Impossible. But these demons, they send this thing as an example. They know to who. You know, the devil's people, the devil's scientists, the devil's politicians. And exactly, the very cheap is exactly the continuation of this. All right.
Now, one question I have, considering, what we're discussing this morning is that aliens are demons, which I kind of agree with that. Now, why would they need a chip to control human beings, since demons possessed humans without chips all the time during history? can they possess them like they always did? Why do they need a chip now?
Well, see, according to Bible prophecies, if you read the Revelation 13, the Antichrist is coming. It's called the Beast in this chapter. In Revelation 13, it talks about this big ruler is going to come and control the world, okay? And it's called the Beast. And he cannot control the world by having people demon-possessed, because that's obvious from the devil. I mean, you can tell when somebody is demon-possessed. So he has to kind of give like a cover-up to these demon possessions by something that, quotes, appears to be scientific. Understand? So it needs to be something that the people will accept. Like, the world is not going to accept to become demon possessed.
First of all,
because the devil is in the business of preaching atheism, there is no God, there is no devil, etc. So all of a sudden, he cannot tell, okay, I receive a devil. All right. So he has to, but the world is being programmed to accept atheism, atheistic science. Like that. So anybody who goes to college, who goes to university, like almost without exception, has to become an atheist, because the schools today are a brainwashing that there is no God, there's only philosophy. You can preach New Age, or you can preach any kind of garbage and lies, but you cannot preach Jesus Christ, because they put Jesus under a cloak, under the garbage of religion. So they say, look at religion, they're homosexual, they're pedophiles, they're just gospel of prosperity, they just want to suck your money. Religion is a garbage. So anybody in the universe will agree that most religion today is just a money-making political things. So it cannot be religious. So it has to be scientific. So the people who go to university will accept, people who go to school will accept anything that sounds scientific. The TV, the media, the newspaper, they're all scientific. And the science as a characteristic today is almost always atheist. All right. So that's why. So the microchip is something that it's a form of demon possessions camouflage as a scientific. The Bible talks about that. All right, if you don't have any questions, I'm going to read it to you.
No, it's very clear. I like this answer, because it clarifies why they would put a chip in human beings. And you think everybody who got kidnapped has a chip inside?
No, not at all. It's like these extraterrestrial aliens, which are demons, of course, they have different purposes. All right, so the implants of an object, which is a transceiver, which with the final purpose of controlling the person, all right, it's just one of the reasons why they get kidnapped. And again, there are documentation, text, documents, videos, films, people interview. There are hundreds of testimonies like that. I mean, just click YouTube, that what I told you are abductions, aliens abductions. All right, you find many. So, but let me read you some scriptures. Why am I saying these things? It's not something I dreamt up this morning. You see, in Revelation 13, it talks about the rise of the beast, which is the God's definition of the Antichrist. Antichrist is a definition you find in 1 John 2:18. It's called Antichrist. In Revelation 13, the Antichrist is called the beast. So why? Because the Bible is not written for everybody. Okay, it's not for everybody to understand. It's not for the atheists. It's not for the devil's people. It's not for the people who reject Christ and are going to hell. It's written in parable only for God's children to understand. Okay, so here is what the Bible has to say about the microchip, about the extraterrestrial implants, which I believe it's what the Bible was talking about. Okay, nobody has to believe it. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe the Holy Spirit. You don't have to believe the Bible. I mean, God gives the option, the privilege to everybody to accept the Bible or reject it. We are not here to force anybody to believe the Bible. If anybody listening just want to believe the Bible, well, don't get offended, but you're welcome to go to hell. You're welcome, not to hell in an offensive way, to hell, the lake of fire. You're welcome to die without Christ. Welcome in, sadly. You have a choice to die without Jesus. You can decide, there's another, I don't believe in anything, I just believe I am here just to make money, buy a car, buy a house, make money, put a bank account, marry, have sex, eat, sleep, and drink. Fine. If this is your world, if this is your heaven, well, enjoy quickly, because that's all the heaven you're going to get. Life for Christians is hard here, but this is all the hell we're going to get. So I want to read now Revelation 13. It talks about what I believe is the microchip, or I believe is these extraterrestrial implants, which was the forerunner of the microchip. And as you know, in America, in March 2013, they're going to make it mandatory for everybody to receive a microchip. All right, and we have messages on YouTube about this. You can tune in our messages.
That's right. Anybody interested in this message about the microchip, it's called Urgent Warning, Microchip Mandatory from 2013 in the States.
Okay, so people can just click that, type that on YouTube. You can follow our messages on that. And don't just follow our message, please. Listen to, there are other Christians are giving messages on the same line. About this specific one, there is hardly anything, very, very, very little. So, and don't wait for the CNN and the media to tell you, because those guys are in the hands of the Antichrist already, of the, you know, the bankers, etc. So they're not going to tell you what's going on. Those guys are in the pocket of the devil already. So you need to go to the alternative, underground, media, the underground, the Christians will tell you what the Bible says. Okay, now, I want to tell you the prophecy of Revelation 13 about the microchip and these aliens implants, which in the Bible is called, as in a parable form, is called the mark of the beast. We read Revelation 13 from 15. And it says, he had power, he's talking about the Antichrist, the false prophets, those guys, to give life unto the beast, unto the image of the beast, which I believe is going to be a big worldwide computer controlling the microchips, controlling the mark of the beast. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this, the image of the beast, I believe, is a computer, okay, which will speak, okay? It will speak like electronically, of course. And the computer will have a program which will, according to this program, to the results, etc., like people are not going to have certain requisites, they're not registered, they don't have an ID, they don't have this, they don't have that, they're going to be labeled as terrorists or whatever, and killed. Okay, 16. And here comes the nitty-gritty. It causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You understand? So, basically, here we see what the Bible says about numbering and marking everybody in the world. All right. So this UFO that came here and put this trans receiver into people, my goodness, that's exactly is the devil's version of the microchip. Is it a coincidence? Of course, no. Who do you think inspired all these demon-possessed people to produce the very chip, the microchip? Something because they want a grandma to get the medicines from the pharmacy? But forget it. Let's not be stupid. They're not interested in your grandma to get to the pharmacy and buy an aspirin, or you losing your dog. Because otherwise they wouldn't have made a microchip implanted under the skin with a possibility, with a property mandatory to be trans receivers, a thing to receive messages which will tell your brain what to do. Are we joking here? If you want everybody to, if you want to pass the number of the passport onto somebody's body, which is bad enough, implanted under the skin, it's bad enough. At least you don't have to make it GPS that you can find out if you're sitting in a toilet, if you're walking in the street, if you're hiding in a cave. They don't have to make GPS format. They don't have to make a trans receiver that you can like download messages, upload messages. You can, from a computer, you can just send a program and the guy receives in his brain whatever program the computer decides. Well, tomorrow there's going to be a Stalin, a Hitler coming up, and God knows what he's going to do. Maybe this form of control, he would have made any Hitler or Stalin get drunk of happiness. I mean, imagine Stalin, he wouldn't have had to kill 40 million people. You understand? Hitler didn't have to send anybody to Auschwitz. Stick a microchip and the guy becomes a yes, hail Hitler, whatever you want, I'll die for Nazism. Only that Hitler and Nazism is going to be the Antichrist, the New World Order. Got that?
Yes. And in fact, it's hard to believe, but just because it's in the Bible, it's clear that it's true and it really, really makes sense. I remember when I was in school, before I got saved, I used to have this friend, this boy who was fascinated by UFOs and always waiting for them to appear and believing in a new world that they will bring. And I thought he's a little strange, but in the same time, I know that other people, most of the people, when they hear about UFOs, they're scared and they're afraid of them. Now, what are they supposed to do, people who are scared?
Well, in fact, some people have been kidnapped by UFOs. They've been kidnapped. Some women we made pregnant.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You can.
That's
there are testimonies. There are films they made. I just watched some film, a testimony from, you can see that in different languages. There was an Italian lady that was kidnapped and got pregnant by, you know, they make them pregnant scientifically, you know. Because the demons, they cannot reproduce. They were cursed by God, and so they cannot have sex anymore. So you can see that in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, they have sex with the daughters of men, and they had the babies and children from these fallen angels. Mm-hmm. And so God cursed them, you see, and they cannot do that anymore. They cannot have sex anymore. So they have to get these girls pregnant artificially. And those demons are now kept in prison, you see. You can see that in the Epistle of Jude, verse 6, they're kept in chains. Because not all demons are in the second heaven, okay? The rebel demons, the ones that don't want to submit under the name of Christ, you know, when you command a demon, he has to obey you. Oh. If he doesn't obey you, the Lord will put him in chains. It says in Jude, verse 6.
Really?
Yeah. So, because the demons are also to bow their knee to the name of Jesus Christ. When they don't, God puts them in the pit.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you see in Luke chapter 8, the demons say, don't. The demons terrorize this guy called Legion. They had a legion of demons, that's 6,000 demons. He said, don't send us to the deep.
He told Jesus, I remember.
Don't send us to the deep. It's, if you read the Greek word deep, it's abusos, which is translated in Revelation 20, verse 3. It's translated bottomless pit. It's the same word, abusos. Mm-hmm. So it's a prison. So in Jude, verse 6, that's where the demons are kept in chain. Mm-hmm. These are the demons who don't want to bow the knees. Mm-hmm. You know, when you cast out a devil from somebody, he has to obey you. If he doesn't obey, God will put him in the pit. That's why those demons will say, don't cast us into the pit. Because that's a horrible place.
Wow.
Understand?
This is nice to know we have authority over demons.
We do. I mean, I've experienced myself many times, and many times people came to me who were oppressed by devils, and just myself, other missionaries with me, we've been casting them out. Just in the name of Jesus Christ, they have to leave.
Amen.
We have authority. No, we, Jesus Christ in us.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what's happening. The devil being cast out from heaven with these demons, they're going to arrive on earth in a deceitful way, because the, like it says in Revelation 12:9, the devil only power is deceiving. He doesn't have. The devil cannot kill people. He cannot punch you. He cannot do nothing. He cannot stick a knife in your body. Nothing. In the name of Jesus, he stops. He can only deceive. Listen, the devil could not make World War II or any wars. He had to deceive a Hitler, and through Hitler, the devil made World War II. Understand?
Yeah.
That's it.
So you were saying about the so-called extraterrestrial kidnapping people and even impregnating this woman in Italy.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
Yeah, she just got kidnapped. But there are many testimonies in the world of people get kidnapped. And so what happened? She shared a testimony. You should see. It was broadcasted by Italian national TV. Okay, that she was kidnapped, she would get pregnant. She got pregnant many times.
Is something she remembered and confessed?
Yeah. She remembered perfectly. And she says that when she's 3 months, they come and they take the fetus out of her, like the supernatural. They take the fetus out, and then they bring them to incubators. You know, they have in the world. They incubate, and these babies are born. They look like humans. Okay, and then they use them to be Hitler, to be some president of America, some president of Russia, some Mao Zedong. You know, these are the tares. If you read the parable of the good seeds and the tares that Jesus talks in Matthew 13, he talks about that. They ask, who sowed the tares? Didn't you sow good seeds? You say, yeah, an enemy sowed the tares among the good seeds. You want us to go and separate? No, because you might hurt the good seeds. Wait until the harvest. I'll tell my angels, I'll tell the reapers to separate the good seeds from the tares. And so Jesus, then Jesus explains.
You know, that's a parable very hard to understand. Yeah. Many people can't explain it.
No, it's very simple.
What are the tares? How can the devil sow tares?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's there are two parables about it in Matthew 13. Okay? It's two separate parables. And then Jesus says that the good seeds are the children of the kingdom, the tares are the children of the devil. Mm-hmm. At the end of the world, the good seeds shall go to heaven, and the tares shall be sent to the lake of fire to be burned up. Understand? So it's like the devil has power to sow tares, to sow children of the devil. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I think it's verse 44, he was talking to the Pharisees and he said, you are the children of the devil. Okay. It's like, basically this is what's happening. It's like they get this woman pregnant because the devil wants to put some special tares in some special position, like a Mao Zedong over here, Stalin over there. The Antichrist is coming, you know. So the devil needs the vehicles that he can use to deceive the world. The Antichrist is going to be one tear, understand?
But that is a little scary. Like, now the woman in the world will be scared, thinking, what is going to happen to me? What if they come in the night and kidnap me? Like, these things, this kind of kidnapping can happen only to somebody who's not saved, no? To Christians cannot happen.
Well, it can happen to anybody. It can also happen to Christians. If you're a passive Christian, it can happen to you. Only if you're an active Christian. Because you see, God's blessing and protections in the Bible is only for the obedience, okay? Not the disobedience. Only for the virgin with oil, not the virgin without oil. Read the parable in Matthew 25. You see, to the message, to the seven messages that Jesus gave to the seven churches, Revelation 2, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and you see, Jesus gives seven different messages to seven different churches. It's not the same. So to one church, he says, I'll protect you. That's Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 7. And to another church, Laodicea, Revelation 3, 14, he says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And to another church, Smyrna, Revelation 2, chapter 2, says, you love tribulation 10 days, be faithful unto death, I give you a crown of life. See, God will test this church, okay? A test which the church of Philadelphia passed, and therefore she got they had a crown, verse 11, Revelation 3:11. But at the same time, there's another church, Revelation 3:1, it says, you have a name to be alive, the church of Sardis, but you are dead. So you see, it's like, why doesn't God protect the church of for example, the church of Thyatira. The church of Thyatira is the church number 4 in Revelation chapter 2. Okay, it says, here, let me read it to you. Because I don't remember every word perfectly here. Revelation 2, the church of Thyatira, is very interesting, especially to the brethren, the Christians, the dear Christian brethren who don't believe that we have to go through tribulations, because God doesn't put us through tribulations. Of course, He does. Of course it does. Look, just read it. Look, to the church of Thyatira, verse Revelation 2:18, he gives his message. Okay. And verse 20, I have a few things against you. A few things, not just one. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, etc.
Yeah.
And then in verse 22, he says, behold, you know, this woman is wicked, okay? I will cast her in a bed. I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulations. Jesus is going to cast these people from the church into great tribulation. In the same chapter, in verse 10, it says, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Understand? So it's like, please, let's wake up, let's not go to sleep. That God loves us, He's going to spare us from tribulation. Because He loves us, He's going to allow us to go to the tribulations, okay? The tribulation of the devil, which God allows to purge us, to cleanse us, to purify us. Because He doesn't want us to go to heaven and be good for nothing, just to be vomited out like the church of Laodicea. He wants to purchase. I mean, please, God, give me tribulation. I hate it, but give it to me if that's going to help me to be next to you in heaven, for God's sake. Okay, so where was I? Did I finish the point?
We were talking about people who were kidnapped, and you're saying that, yeah, this strange creatures that's extraterrestrial can even kidnap Christians if they are passive, if they're not active. Now, what is our defense?
Exactly. Well, good news.
Oh, please. We could use some good news.
Good news. We wouldn't have a physically any defense against extraterrestrial come with incredible weapons, X-ray, whatever. But these guys are just demons. Just plain, low demons overcome by the blood of Jesus. Look at that testimony. In fact, I'm going to post on this message a bunch of addresses of a few different addresses, not too many, or different documents, video documents, films, which anybody wants can follow, and testimonies of people who were actually kidnapped by extraterrestrials. In reality, demons. And for example, this woman. As a woman that she was sleeping in bed, she said. And all of a sudden, she saw a light coming into the bedroom. Her husband sleeping next to her. So I think it's a green light, a dark light, she said. And she felt paralyzed. Then these creatures arrived, or these weird-looking creatures around her. And she said that they were pure hate, these guys, pure hate. And then she was a Christian. And even though she was a Christian, they just did something on her, and her body lifted up from the bed. And she was paralyzed. She couldn't move a finger. And then, all of a sudden, in her thoughts, in her mind, she began to think, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. She just kept repeating the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As soon as they said Jesus, these guys backed off. Mm-hmm. They went through the walls and disappeared. And soft as a feather, okay, a body was put back on the bed. The Spirit of God, of course, the Holy Spirit. She woke up and said, my God,
thank you, Jesus.
What is this? So even though she was a Christian, they had the power to come in, lift her up, and she was going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And she was a passive Christian, a scared Christian, disobedient Christian. A Christian does not go to Jesus every time she's in trouble. A Christian hasn't learned to use the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? I tell you, I've been preaching in hundreds of churches, and I tell you, there are churches full of sickness, full of curses. People in church, this girl that I was in Austria preaching in Vienna one time, this girl, I think were you there?
Yes.
This girl came, and she said she was telling me about the curses. She came up to all the way to the pulpit. There was a line that was praying, people laying hands for the sickness. And I don't know if you remember. Because you were my translator those days, remember? You were translator.
Yeah, but I don't remember the situation.
Yeah. Anyway, it was one of the many instances. You remember there was this very sweet, cute young lady, must have been 25, and she said, oh, she told me about the curse she had. And I said, well, you need the Holy Spirit, you need the baptism. Mm-hmm. And she said, I have the Holy Spirit. I think it was a church that believed in the Holy Spirit, baptism is the Holy Spirit. And she said, I have the Holy Spirit. Then I looked to her, and I felt like a definite confirmation in her eyes. She was full of the Spirit. And she was definitely baptized in the Spirit. She was baptized in the Spirit and full of curses, sickness, curses, because she was a disobedient Christian. Anyway, we pray for her. I don't know if you remember, but she got healed or everything she had. The curse was broken. She got healed. She was sick too. I mean, we had many healings, I remember.
Amen.
That. And here she was, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, born again Christian, full of curses. So you see, of course, the devil has power over disobedient Christians. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's it.
And basically, it's us who give him the power. Otherwise, he wouldn't have it.
Yeah, it's like even if we are Christian, tell you, if you go to sleep on some Laodicea church bench on some Sardis, if you go to some Sardis church, who have a name to be alive but they are dead, I tell you that the devil can put curses on us. We can divorce, we can get sick, our marriage can be destroyed, our children can take drugs if we are passive Christians, you understand? Mm-hmm. So passive Christians, the devil has power through our disobedience. He has no power over us, but our disobedience gives him power. Our passivism, our disobedience to God's command, and the fact that, for example, it's not enough to say I love God. Every church says they love God. The Pharisee love God. The way to know if we're really active is the obedience to the second commandment. See, God gave first commandment, okay, Matthew 22:37, said all the commandments are briefly comprehended in this. Thou shalt love God and your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments are in this. Matthew 22:37-40. Okay, but everybody loves God because that love is invisible, right? But God made it visible. Now we can see, we can touch, we can drink, we can eat, we can fellowship physically with his love. How? The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, which is the greatest way you can love your neighbor? Give us some food? Well, so the atheist, they give food. Give clothes. The atheist, that was atheist organization, they give clothes. Humanitarian. I've spoken to humanitarian people who are atheists. They have to get the gospel. The way to demonstrate the greatest love is the gospel, salvation. What does it do if you give money, food, clothes, this and that, and your soul still goes to hell? The way to love your neighbor, you don't love your neighbor if you don't give him salvation, if you don't give him Jesus. So that's the way to know if you're active. Okay, it's not enough to warm up the best church bench of the best church building in town. You can warm it up every Sunday. If you don't preach the gospel, your love is not true. Because that means you're not loving your neighbor. You don't love the lost. And if you don't love the lost, you don't love Jesus. Because Jesus said, feed my sheep. Amen. So a passive Christian, yes, can be kidnapped by the UFOs, by the devils. I tell you, trouble. Okay. So activity means not just love God, go to church, but especially preach the gospel. How? Anyway, you don't need a theology diploma. Just preach it, whatever. Even if you're stupid like me, just preach in a stupid way, but preach the gospel. Even if you're silly like me, preach in a silly way, preach the gospel. Even if you're a donkey like me, preach in a donkey way, but preach the gospel. It doesn't have to be hair splitting, theological hair splitting. Just preach it. Jesus loves me. I receive Jesus. I'm saved. A night asleep, happy. If you go here, say, God heal me miraculously. If he healed your marriage, he healed my marriage. If you found a job, I pray for a job, he gave me a job. Give the glory to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, and thank you, Jesus. This is very good. In fact, the best way to love your neighbor is to give him the salvation of Christ. Like you say, you need to show it, but not just materially, but actually give him the salvation of Christ. So, amen. Let's preach the gospel.
Yeah, and remember, not just the four, the extraterrestrial can visit. They're just plain, low-class, under your feet demons. See, you cannot control the extraterrestrial, but you can control the demons. Amen. You cannot control people. They are free moral agents. Okay, they are the majesty of choice so far. And when the judgment comes, that's it. It's either heaven or hell. But we can't control demons. That's no problem. Okay, so remember, if ever you have four dares, you dare the demons to get near. Dare them. They can't come here if you have the courage. I'm going to rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't bow the knee in front of Jesus, I'm going to pray for you to be cast in the pit. Not in hell. That's a wrong command. But in the pit, yes, you can command that they disobey Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not because they attack you, but because they don't obey Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not because they want to kidnap you, but because they don't listen to Jesus. Through you, because remember, you have Jesus in your heart. Only some people keep Jesus asleep in their heart because they don't let him speak. They don't give him space. They don't use their mouth so Jesus can speak through them. And no wonder the devil makes sausages out of them. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So let's say a prayer. Jesus, fill us with your power. Fill us with your love, which is, that's where the power comes from. Amen. From loving you, worshiping you. Lord Jesus, all the power of heaven, it's just worshiping the Father in the name of Jesus and loving the Father in the name of Jesus. And that gives us power to live with total authority over the devil or to die as a martyr when our day has come. But there is nothing the devil can do against the man who is not afraid of dying. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Write to us, brethren, send a few lines, and join our club.
Amen.
We are free Christian. We are independent. We don't belong no organization. We don't care about organization. We just want to belong to Jesus. We are a free church. We have a free Christ, free Christianity, a free salvation, a free heaven, and we're just bound together by the love of Jesus Christ. And we don't have doctrinal books, just the Bible.
Amen.
We love you. Get in touch. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ's name.
Please write to us. Write to us your questions, your opinions, your ideas. It's very interesting to get to know more of what people think and what they wonder about, so we can search the Bible about these things, so we can find scriptures to clarify our ideas about it.
Yeah.
So please get in touch.
We're trying to put a lot of messages on YouTube like this, so you can just go through and see what kind of subject is more interesting for you. And they all start from the same point, Jesus. They all end to the same point, Jesus. And we
Amen.
Pray that you will find there food for your soul, like it says in Job 23:12, I think. It says, I love you, the word of your mouth
more than my necessary food.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.